the universe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now it is an amazing thing, I am sure, to each one of us here, to one degree or another, that man thinks he can figure out God. And the amazing thing is, he always goes in the wrong way. He always goes in the wrong avenue. Now I don't know what your conception of God is, but friend, the God of John 3:16 is so misunderstood. The God of John 3:16, I do want you to notice, is a very personal God. It's an amazing fact that the God of the gospel, infinite in his being, having no beginning and having no end, and we have a beginning and we have an end, but God is infinite, and in the fullness of that infinity, in all the greatness of his character and of all the greatness of his being, his power has no measure and can never be diminished, and his love can never know exhaustion. Amazing character. But the God of John 3:16 is very personal. It's you and God. It's me and God. You must deal with God, dear young lady and young man. You personally. May I just say this in passing? It is always encouraging to me when I read of the different characters in the Bible whom God was pleased to use. Do you know that the most of them were young? Young men. The most of young of men in the Bible whom God used were young men. And the most of them were saved in their teens. And I want to say that, I trust, to encourage you tonight. I suppose some of you here who are young may think that the gospel is just for old people. After they've had their fling, and then they can settle down, and when they're afraid to die, they get right with God. A lot of humbug and a big coward. The best time for a man to know God is when he's young. And may I say to you kindly, when people get saved when they're young, by the grace and mercy of God, their whole life is able to be used for God and enjoy God. And there's no joy on earth like knowing God and enjoying him. Let me assure you, friend, for I've known him for 50 years, the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. No, I wasn't saved as a little baby. I was a boy, and I came to know the Lord Jesus personally as the Savior of my sinful soul. And I can tell you, the more that I know him, the more it only sets me longing to know him more and more. And the more that I love him, the more it breaks my heart to realize that he loves me even more. Oh, the wonder of knowing God. Now in my text, let me notice with you three things about God that are misunderstood. We have mentioned that he is a personal God. But I want you to notice in the text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first thing I wish you to notice is that God is a giving God. And that is very, very misunderstood. Most people think God is taken from them all the time. He takes this away, and he takes that away. And why did God take that away from me? And why did God not give me that? And they think that God is all the time taken from them. Let me tell you, friend, it's sin that robbed man, not God. It's sin that lays man in sorrow upon his bed with a broken body and a wasted mind and a wasted broken life and broken home. It's sin that does that. It's not God. God is a giving God. God so loved the world. And that takes you in tonight, friend. And you, young man and young lady, an older friend, sitting in this little audience, let me tell you from the depth of my heart, with every ability that I can muster, God loves you, and he follows you every moment, and he wants to give. He wants to give to you everlasting life. That's the God of John 3:16. Oh, how he is misunderstood. But let me notice with you as well that the God of John 3:16 has a very singular motive in dealing with the world. There's one thing in the mind of God when he's dealing with the world today. That is to save sinners from going to hell. Mind you, friend, that's what God is doing. That's what he's interested in. The mighty wars amongst the nations are not a concern to God. Now, mind you, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to say God is not interested in the dear people that are wounded and dying. Of course he is. My text would tell you that. And he sends the gospel to people that they might be saved all over the world. But the chief interest of God is seeing people delivered from the road to hell and made fit for heaven. That's what he's interested in this little meeting tonight. We're not here, friend, to try and get you to join a religion or sign a card or pay some money. Not at all. We're trying to get you to see what God mercifully has shown us, that God has loved us and gave his Son to be the Savior of our sinful soul, that we might not go to hell, but we might be ready for heaven. That's the God of John 3:16. Oh, how he is so misunderstood. People don't appreciate the giving character of God, the mercy of his hand. But let me notice with you as well that the God of John 3:16 is a God of great power. You know, people think that God is a little like a rubber stick, you know, and you can just kind of bend them a little bit to make them fit your own little mold of thinking. Well, I think that God is like this. Or I think that God would do this. A lot of humbug. Let me tell you, friend, John 3:16 tells me that God is all powerful. He's the only one with the ability to take a soul that deserves to go down into hell forever. He's the only one with the ability to take him off that road and put him on the road to heaven, and he'd never lose his salvation. That's the power of God. He's the only person, the only individual who can save you from the shackles of your sin and turn your life around and make it a bright life of joy to men and joy to God. He can do that. He did it with that man. He did it with me. He's done it with others. And he can do it for you. The sadness that fills your heart tonight because this world has disappointed you. You might even be afraid of it. Let me tell you, friend, the power of God is able to change you and give you the reality of eternal life. And that life has no sadness in it. I don't mean to say Christians don't know sadness. Of course they do. But it isn't eternal life that gives it to them. There's nothing but joy in eternal life. And the longer you live to enjoy it, the more you enjoy it. Mind you, friend, that's the God of John 3:16. Don't you misunderstand him. Don't you think that God is like a man. That's what people think. Well, he's just like us, and we can hoodwink him, you know. We can fool him. Some people try to fool him with a nice clean front and a nice clean life. And they think that God can't see inside. He sees the motions of the mind, the motives of the heart. He sees the ways of life. He knows you through and through. And I look back to the time when it made me ashamed to realize what God saw when he looked at a sinner like me. But that's the God of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Marvelous statement. We could spend a week on speaking of God's love for the world. Why we don't do it more, I have to reproach myself. God loves you, man and woman in this meeting tonight with a love that is infinite like himself. That's pure and holy, a perfect, patient love. And he's yearning and longing to give you everlasting life and save you from the road to hell and put you on the way to heaven. He did it for a sinner like me, and he can do it for you. That's the God of John 3:16. So misunderstood. Let me notice with you the most misused gift in the world. Whenever I speak of this, I think of a little account that I read about a boy in his teens that went away from home. You know, he had it in his idea that mother had been too severe on him. She was a widow woman. So he left home to have his kicks and sow his wild oats, as he said. And he left and never looked back. His dear mother wrote him letters, but he never answered them. She used to send him a Christmas package, you know, and a birthday package, but he never even acknowledged them. And the poor woman was going down and down and down. She really was brokenhearted. An ungrateful son. She had been so kind to him. So on one occasion, she said, "This is the last one I send." She bought him a shirt of the colors that he liked. She thought it would just pick him up. Maybe he'll write back. She sent it to him. In less than 2 weeks, the package came back. And written across the front of that package were these words: "Return to sender. Unwanted." You know, I broke that mother's heart. And within a month, she died. Died of a broken heart. Her love was spurned. The son did not want her love. She refused the gift and refused the giver. My friend, in this meeting tonight, God so loved you that he gave out of heaven not an angel, but he gave his co-equal, his eternal, his darling son. That's the title that the Bible uses of Christ. My darling. He gave him for you. He gave him to meet your deep, deep, dire need as a sinner. He gave him to pay a price you could never pay. He gave him to secure salvation from fire eternal in hell and the eternal lake. He gave him to secure salvation for you from it. And he paid the price. Look back to the cross. Look at that middle tree, the object of the scorn of the people, thorn-crowned brow, nail-pierced hands and feet, spear-riven side. Look upon that back so rudely torn, and you can write over that little picture, "It was for me." Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Wondrous love, I can shout and sing, "He died for me." Now, my friend, God gave him. What have you done with him? What have you done with him, dear young man? Can I appeal to you? God so loved you, he provided a personal Savior for you. What have you done with him? Most men use his name to swear with. They use the name of God to damn others. Oh, the shamefulness of man. But God so loved you, knowing what you would be, that he gave his son. Let me tell you, friend, that gift is still available tonight. You could receive Christ as a sinner tonight. You could. That's the offer of the gospel. You need not leave this place without knowing Christ is my Savior. But let me remind you, that gift has been misused. Every opportunity that you have to hear the gospel, you make a decision. Sometimes you say, "No, I don't want to go. No, I'm not going to those meetings anymore." Maybe you don't say it out loud, maybe you do. But you refuse to come. You know what you're doing? You're sending back the gift with this note on it: "Return to sender, unwanted." Oh, to think so solemnly that you do not want Christ after his blood flowed so voluntarily to pay the price for your salvation. Is it possible that you do not want the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? He who has the power to break the bonds of sin that binds you with such bitterness and sorrow and disappointment. Is it possible that you do not want Christ as your master? You'd sooner have the devil. You'd sooner serve the devil and die in sin and go to hell for all eternity instead of having the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, to live for him, to enjoy him, and to be in heaven for all eternity. The most misused gift. Oh, I appeal to you as I close the meeting tonight. Don't get off that chair, my friend, refusing the Lord Jesus. He's the only hope for salvation from hell. He's the only one who's able to save you and present you to God. acceptable and ready for heaven. The most misunderstood doctrine in the world. Ask people how can you receive salvation, and most people will say, well, be a good church member, or pay your tithes and sure keep the commandments and do the best you can. And of course there's a lot of people going around and they say that, but they're hypocrites. And we know there are a lot of hypocrites out there saying Christian, and they're hypocrites. Of course there are. Because there's the real thing. And the devil, he has produced a phony. And the hypocrite's a phony. Don't be a phony. Be real. Get Christ. It's the only ones that are real. I want to tell you, friend, those that are real prove, and you know them. You know those that are real. Those that have Christ. Like Brother Dirksen said tonight, his brother had something he could see that he didn't have. That's the real thing. And my friend, to receive that is where the problem comes in. People think that they have to do something in their life. They think that they have to be something. You couldn't be anything more than what you are. Just a poor, miserable sinner. Neither could I. That's what I discovered myself to be. A sinner that couldn't help himself. I could change my character of living and turn over a new leaf, but that wouldn't change what I was, and it wouldn't change what I am. But my dear friend in the meeting, the way of salvation is by faith in another. You see, the ability to save is in Christ. The price of salvation is in His death. What satisfies God about my sin is what the Savior did, not something I do. I must entirely be dependent on Him. That's the way of salvation. That's how salvation is received. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I used to work with a dear man in the gospel. He's now in heaven, Mr. McBain. And he had a little illustration he used to use. And it fits in with this statement and the last one of my verse. I give it to you as I close the meeting. He told about a guy that used to take people through the Alps. And of course they would walk along the edge of the glaciers, and the ice. And this occasion, as he was leading his people along, single file, along the edge of this ice pack, he came to a big fissure in the ice. And he hopped over very nimbly and ably, and he got down upon one knee, and he put his hand out over that space. And he said to the man coming next, now he says, you just step on my hand and don't try to jump over without stepping on my hand. And the man, of course, he looked down that big hole and he looked at a man's hand that looked so frail. But the guy, he saw him questioning, looking. You know what he said to him? He said, that man, that hand has never lost a man yet. And I want to say to you, dear friend, in this meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus has never lost a sinner that trusts Him. Never. The simplicity of the way of salvation. Whosoever believeth in Him, just step on His hand, take Him at His word, and God says, thou shalt be saved. That's the promise that can be trusted. Shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Remember my little text. I hope it has been a help to you. With your soul in the balance, your eternity before you, and this possibly being your last opportunity to hear the message, friend, listen to my text. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we ask graciously that Thou wilt do what we cannot do. We look into the faces of these men and women and we yearn to see them saved. We realize where they are sitting, for we once sat there too, miserable, helpless, on the way to hell, full of self-pity and pride, unwilling to admit that they're going to hell and that's all they deserve. We pray tonight that Thy holy word, the testimony of our brother, of what Thou hast done for his soul, oh, that it may make men see that they're just like he was, on the road to the pit, blinded, without ability to save themselves. We do thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We marvel at thy love in giving him. We thank thee thou didst give him. All the way to Calvary we sing, he went for me. May God be pleased to bless thy word to some heart tonight, that they may be able to sing with us, wounded for me. Wounded for me there on the cross. He was wounded for me. Gone are my transgressions. And now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. Add thy blessing, we earnestly pray. Sober our hearts as we leave this room. Make eternal values personal tonight, that none may go out for the last time, never to return again. Oh God, speak to us, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now we will sing in closing number 89, hymn number 89. Once again, we thank you gratefully for coming tonight. Remember the children's meeting at 7 tomorrow evening and Tuesday through Friday at 7:30. We ask you to pray for the meetings if you have salvation. And if you don't, do come. And if you have any questions about your personal salvation, don't be afraid to ask. We'll gladly turn you to the scriptures to see what God says that you might be saved. Number 89, we will sing the first verse only.